Thank you, choir. One of the things that I didn't do with the little ones, I just waited till the sermon to start talking about and preparing us for this sermon, is look at the journey we've been on through Lent, and now we've come to Easter. And if we start just with Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and I have on the carvings from our olive wood from the Middle East, from Bethlehem. So we start with that, and then we have Jesus having the crown of thorns put upon him, and then Jesus carrying the cross, and then Jesus on the tree or the cross, and then the resurrected Jesus. So in that story, you would have thought that the disciples, the apostles, would have learned so much about the Lord and about why Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. But then comes actual crucifixion and then the glorious resurrection day. And we heard about what happened in the Lucan version. This is the year of Luke in the Gospel. And this year, in the Gospel of Luke, it says, but these words, the words of the women, sharing that they had been to the tomb, and it was now emptied, and that Christ had risen, but these words seemed to them an idle tale to the apostles, an idle tale. So today we come to talk about the idle tale and how we can enter from there to the resurrection of Jesus. I love to talk about and share idle tales. We all seem to have an idle tale story in our life, or maybe we just like idle tale. The word idle here means nonsense or nonsensical. And I can think about an idle tale that influenced my life when I was young. When I was a Boy Scout, we would drive, I didn't drive, we rode in the cars, down Route 33. We started this before 33, the one we know today, was built. We would ride on old 33 and we would come to Lancaster and we would be on today Memorial Drive and we would stop and get ice at the ice house out there that's no longer there. And then we would head on out to New Straitsville. And when we got to New Straitsville, we would get our packs on, our sleeping bags on, and carry our food items, because we would hike 10 miles to Tinker's Cave. There was a cave there that we called Tinker's Cave. It isn't a real cave, it's really just a rock that comes way out over, and you can go in there. And we would camp in Tinker's Cave. I probably averaged 50 some nights a year at least in Tinker's Cave for several years as a Boy Scout. And we would... That woke us up. Perfect timing, James. Last week it was a rooster. This week, so we would hike this 10 miles, and in the spring, right around Lent time or right after Easter, when the weather permitted and the plants started to grow, the older scouts, when we got older, we'd take our machetes down and blaze this trail. 10 miles before Tinker's Cave and 10 miles after Tinker's Cave. It was called the Wilderness Tree Trace. But we always stayed in Tinker's Cave. And we would be told the stories of Tinker's Cave about Shep Tinker being a horse thief and would hide horses there. He came from Zanesville, lived in Gloucester, I think, and would steal horses. back in the 1840s and even somewhat later. He went to prison. But Tinker's Cave received his name because that's where he hid the horses that he would take elsewhere and sell, usually up to Sandusky, Ohio. But we camped there. And if you go online and look at it, it'll tell you there are many ghost stories about Tinker's Cave. But our story, our idle tale, was not about a ghost. It was about a cougar. And our scoutmaster knew how to keep us under control. He would put us all in the cave, and so that we would not leave the cave and go wandering through the forest, or going off and doing our own thing, he would say, "There's a cougar here, so don't go far away." Well, that's an idle tale, we thought. And then in the evening, just as we're settling down and starting to decide if we're going to try to stay up late, even though the scoutmaster wanted us right in bed on time because we had some hiking to do the next day, or some work to do on the wilderness tree trace, he would say, time to go to bed. And if we would sneak out and not go to bed, eventually we would hear from atop the cave a cougar growling. Rawr. And when we were young, as Boy Scouts, that would frighten us to death. As we got older and became more of older scouts working on their Eagle badge or others, their life, by that time we knew it was the scoutmaster who was up there growling like a cougar so that we would not leave Tinker's Cave. There truly was an idle tale. Some today still say there are cougars down there. Idle tales, they impact our lives. There are actually idle tales in the Bible. You can look back in the book of Numbers, and in the 22nd chapter of Numbers, it's part of the conclusion there of many chapters of King Barak and Balaam. Balaam received a mission to go and tell this group of people that arrived in what we call the Promised Land that they better depart because King Barak is going to be coming after them, and that this is not their land. So Balaam got on his donkey and was ready to go pass the word on, and lo and behold, in the middle of the road, the donkey looked up and saw what the donkey saw was an angel, and stopped and would not move. So Balaam, riding his donkey, was beating on the donkey, tapping it first and getting more and more stronger, beating the donkey to say, "Go," and the donkey would not go. And then the donkey finally headed off through the vines and into the vineyards, and there were walls between each side around surrounding the donkey and Balaam, and the donkey would crush into the wall and squash Balaam's feet. And Balaam would beat the donkey. And finally, the donkey saw the angel again and spoke in human language to Balaam, that this is a call to you from God, that is an angel out there. Why do you not see it? Do you not know that I would not do anything to hurt you? I have been your donkey. You've ridden on me your whole life. And then Balaam could see the angel. A great idle tale with deep meaning in it about a donkey who could speak the human language. The Bible likes to talk about idleness and nonsensical things and use the word. In many scriptures, if you go digging in, you'll see it. But today, we see it in a place that we're surprised about. If this was in Mark, which was the gospel on Easter last year, we would have seen the women become afraid. This year, we don't see the frightened women, we see the apostles. We see the disciples that should know how to follow Jesus. That they say it's an idle tale that Jesus arose and the tomb is empty. The same people, though, are kind of like Peter here in the last sentence in verse 12. Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home and amazed at what had happened. Now, let's touch into last week. On Palm Sunday, we talked about Peter. And last week, Peter denied Jesus three times until that cock crowed, and we had that beautiful rooster right here that crowed on perfect timing for us last week. So Peter, yes, he had learned his lesson. He had denied Jesus three times during this time when he was in trial and being ready to be crucified. And now Peter was willing and able to follow Jesus and do what Jesus as Christ had commanded. And so it wasn't long that these disciples and apostles became like those women and believed in the Lord again, believed that Jesus had arisen from the dead, believed that he had overcome crucifixion, a crucifixion that had impacted so many thousands and thousands, or maybe millions of people. Because Jesus wasn't the only one ever to be crucified. Sometimes there would be 1,000 people lined up on the streets crucified in some big Roman city. They tortured so many people. But Jesus' crucifixion was the first to start ending that practice. As the disciples themselves, some were crucified later on, years later, as they preached the good news. Some were stoned to death. Some were forced off the top of the steeple to fall. Many things happened to them because they learned to follow Jesus. Because they learned that he had truly arose from the dead and that he was their Savior and he was God on earth. So today, that's our task. That's the preacher's job on Easter Sunday, is to let us all know that some of us still treat Easter as a little idle tale. Yeah, we're glad to celebrate it. We're glad to sing and hear the story. But how much of it do we totally grasp? And how much of it do we need, or what do we need to let go of so we can truly grasp a resurrection and know and trust that it will be in our lives, at least on life after this life? So enjoy the idle tales. They're out there. But let them remind you that when the apostles and the early disciples experienced that idle tale, they learned from it that it was not idle tale, it was true, and they followed Jesus. It is in his name that we say, Amen.